August 12th, 2016. It is Ches, Menachem Av Tovshin Ayin Vav, and we today finish off Sefer Bereishis in Yiras Hashem. So there is a comment that is made by the Alter of Slobodka, the Sefer Or HaTzafam. So he makes a comment on this pasuk where the brothers turn to Yosef, or the brothers turn to themselves and say, Lo yistimeni Yosef, vashev yashivlanu esarashir gamalnu oso. That the brothers are concerned that, oh, isn't Yosef going to nurse this hatred? Lo yist, perhaps Yosef will nurse hatred and place in, and vashev yashivlanu esarashir, and return to us all the bad which we caused him. So the Or HaTzafam makes a comment, Kolomar halavai sheyistom otanu v'yishuv lanu ra. That halavai, not just lo, perhaps, normally we read it as perhaps, ayvei, we're concerned that Yosef is going to get back at us. Perhaps Yosef will get back at us. I mean, there is almost a sign of hopefulness that maybe Yosef will punish us for all the things that we do. But after Yosef gave them some tochacha, ba'onichem osam, consoled them a little bit, lo ayhagvul lahaspi shosam ulahava ulevahalasam hayuma mipanav. That once Yosef declined to punish them, and Yosef told them, I'm not going to punish you. Rather, you're left to your own devices. It's between you and Hashem. So there was no end to the gloom and the embarrassment that was suffered by those brothers.
You're trying to say this is the progenitor of Jewish guilt?
I'm trying to say what the Alter of Slobodka said. That the Alter of Slobodka simply said that the brothers were hoping that Yosef was going to get back at them, and when Yosef didn't, so that was sadness to them. In fact, that comment that he makes in Or HaTzafam, that's on page Chelek Aleph, page Reish Chaf Gimel, that is immediately commenting his comments about the Medrash, Oilanu Yom HaDin, Oilanu Yom HaTuchacha, that the brothers came to Yosef, Yosef revealed himself, said, O ni Yosef, O Davichai, the brothers don't have anything what to say, and the Medrash comments, woe unto us on the great day of judgment that is coming. So what is that? How is that the great deal of judgment? So the point is that they weren't being punished, the fact that there wasn't the punishment, the fact that they were just left in their guilt, they were left with the problems that they had. So that's what it meant. Woe unto us on the day of judgment when we're left without an excuse and without being and nothing had been taken care of. Like we haven't received the punishment. And he is implying the idea that we'll talk about today, that they were hoping that they could perhaps get it over with. Can we punish us now so that the effects of this sin that we did of selling you down to Egypt, that's not going to linger with us, Leolam Vaed. So where does he get that from? So there is a Gemara at the very end of Maseches Makos, which I don't have. But the end of Maseches Makos, who makes a comment about the MS of Yah, the very end, Chaf Dalad Amar Aleph. Famously, the bottom of Chaf Dalad Amar Aleph is a story of Rabbi Akiva seeing the Beis HaMikdash and its destruction and commenting that just as, right? That's the end of Maseches Makos, so this is the top of that Amud. So the top of that Amud, it comments that Yaakov is truthful. It quotes a pasuk to talk about Yaakov being truthful. So the Gemara asks, and from where do we see that Yaakov is truthful? So he quotes it from a pasuk on Chaf Zepar Chaf Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis, 27:12. What's 27:12? It's a pasuk about the beautiful truth of Yaakov. Well, not exactly. The pasuk there tells us, "Ulai imusheni avi vayisi be'enav kemisateha." That Yaakov is commenting. This is in the episode where Rivka is trying to convince Yaakov that you have to cover yourself up and trick your father into getting the bracha. So Yaakov comments, "Ulai imusheni pave." Perhaps my father will touch me, and I'll be seen as a liar in front of his eyes. Vayisi like kol b'lo bracha, give me a curse instead of a bracha. So she says to him, don't worry, that's my issue. Rather just do exactly what I say. And she went and he made the matamim, and then Rivka took the clothing of Esav and put it on Yaakov, and then he went in front of her. So the Vilna Gaon points out that there's two ways in Torah about saying perhaps. There's two languages of perhaps. One is the language of pen, and one is the language of ulai. Pen and ulai. We see both of them coming off over the course of Torah. What's the difference between those two verses? Pen, lest, or ulai is perhaps. So what's the distinction? Ten is hoping for, or is concerned for the bad, and ulai is hoping for the good. Ten is lest this happen to us. Ulai is perhaps this will happen to us. So comments the Vilna Gaon, that's what's going on. Right, and on the first hand, it doesn't make sense. How do we see the truth of Yaakov when Yaakov says, "Oh, perhaps Yitzhak will figure out that I'm a liar"? What does that have to do with the truth of Yaakov? Anything that demonstrates the non-truth of Yaakov. So Simcha Zissel Mikelm explains, no, Yaakov was saying, perhaps I will be found out, in that he's hoping that he will be found out. Oh. He's hoping he will be revealed. And he has to follow his mother. His mother told him to do this. He realized the importance of this for the future of the Jewish people, for that, all right, it has to be that I'm going to get the bracha instead of Esav. But perhaps he's going to figure it out, and then it won't be through my lying that the bracha went from Yitzhak to Yaakov, but rather Kadosh Baruch will have to figure out some other means. He's hopeful that he will be found out, rather than hopeful that he will not be found out. Right? Pretty amazing.
What would
the reason to be
found out?
I mean, Yaakov realized. Why would he be found out? Because he says, because my father's going to touch me. Why does he hope he'll be found out? Because the way things are going now is the way it plays out. Yaakov says, tells his father, "I'm Esav and I'm not Yaakov, right? And therefore, give me the bracha." Yaakov gives him the bracha. The bracha. Yaakov realizes this has to happen. His mother told him so. He realizes it's necessary for the bracha to go from Yitzhak to Yaakov, but it's going through to him by way of lying. It's going through by way of an untruth. Yaakov, in a way, would rather be found out. What's going to be with the bracha? What's going to be with the whole Jewish people? All right, that's God's problem. It's not my problem.
Yeah,
right? I don't want to be involved through my falsehood of this this happening. Right. So everybody's saying, hopefully I'll be found out. In fact, there is a medrash. There is a medrash later on that when in Medrash Rabbah, Bereishis Ayin Chaf Ayin Yutes. That he says, "V'cholahu leila havat savach leRachel v'hi anyola." That the entire night Yaakov called to her, calling her Rachel, and she responded. I mean, that night when Yaakov was with Leah the first time, so Yaakov was saying to her Rachel, he was calling her by her name, and she responded, right? And she responded, "Yeah, I am Rachel." But Safra v'nehi Leah. In the morning, he wakes up, and behold, she's Leah. So Amar La, Yaakov says to her, "My Ram Yasa Bas Rama." What? I have a deceitful woman, the daughter of a deceitful man. So La Belele Habakarena Rachel Ba'atan Yisle. Didn't I call you Rachel the whole night? And you responded to me affirmatively? So Amar La, she responds to him, "Well, he suffered the Waisle Tombidim, right? Is there a Torah scholar who doesn't have any students?" Meaning, you're the Rebbe of this. You're the one who lied first. Lo Kacha Bat Sabach Lachavucha Esa Ba'atan Yisle. Didn't your father call you Esav and you responded? And yes, and that's the end of the medrash, right? It's good kasha, right? The only difference is Yaakov would claim, he said, "Yeah, but I wasn't hoping that to be so. I didn't want that to be so. I said ulai, that maybe my father will figure me out. Hopefully, he'll figure me out." While you, it's embedded. You, it's embedded the idea of falsehood, and that's why I'm upset with you. And this with this situation. So we have another example, by the way, the pen ulai, and that is by Eliezer and Avram. That I think we studied this back all the way back when. But when Eliezer was being sent by Avram to go find a wife for Yitzchak, so Avram says, "Pen, perhaps I won't be able to find a girl." So the Medrash pick up on that and say, wait a second, he used the pen word. What's the pen word? That Eliezer was hoping that he'd not find a girl so that Yitzhak would marry his daughter. That's the source for that Medrash. The fact that he says pen as opposed to ulai means that he was hopeful of it rather than he was not hopeful of it. And in fact, the whole tenor of the conversation changes at that point. Take a look at, I think we did this back then. Take a look at the language there. The whole thing changes at that point. Avram now is a little more distrustful of Eliezer because of that situation.
Is perhaps
pen. Sorry, ulai. He says ulai. I'm sorry, Eliezer said ulai, that perhaps they won't be able to find it, as opposed to pen is less, like, you know, L-E-S-T, like, unfortunately. Right. Pen is an unfortunate, but they both kind of mean the same thing, right, so just going in different directions.
Like perhaps it's like you're hoping it's
going to
happen.
Yeah.
Right?
And
less...
I'm afraid it's going to happen, yeah. So now...
But actually,
She wasn't being deceitful. There was love in there.
No, but she was deceitful that night.
Did
she tell her?
Well, that the Medrash is describing that he said to her Rachel, and she said yes. She responded affirmatively.
So
he was upset with her for that act.
Don't attack me. I'm learning from you, my man.
Yaakov responded yes, too.
But Yaakov is saying, I did it with a feeling of sadness. I didn't want to do it.
She didn't use the right word. She didn't say
goodbye.
Yeah, so...
She said, me. I'm you right off. There was no question.
Okay. Right. I was reading into that. The Medrash actually stops at that point. I mean, one could read it as that Yaakov was quiet. He said, oh, I guess you're right.
I don't know. There's all kinds of conceding interpretation.
Okay. Fine. All right, anyways, so now we get back to our story over here. We get to our story at the very end of Parshas Vayechi. So we read this idea in the Or HaChaim yesterday. The Or HaChaim says on Pasuk, Tesvav. So Vayuruche Yosef, Pasuk says, Vayuruche Yosef Kimesavihem. The brothers saw that their father had died. Vayomru, Lu Yistamini Yosef. Lu Yistamini Yosef. That perhaps Yosef will harbor guilt with us. Vayashiv Yishiblan, Vayishkla Rashi Gamano. So he'll return to us all the evil things which they want to cause us. So the Or HaChaim picks up on that and says, there's two words, there's pen and lie. What is Lu? Lu Yistamini Yosef, says the Or HaChaim, that's lie. That the brothers were, and he adds in subconsciously, he actually says subconsciously, that the brothers subconsciously were hoping that Yosef would get back at them. They were hoping that Yosef would take out his anger upon them. And he goes on and says, why? Because of all of the difficult things that emanate from the sale to Yosef, they were hoping, well, why don't we just get it over with now? Now, it doesn't fit in. You can't say that it was consciously what their plan was, because otherwise, why would they go to Yosef and say, oh, our father told us before he died that you should, right? They made up that story to avoid guilt, but there is a conflict going on. That's what the Or HaChaim is pointing out. Consciously, they're saying, oh, gosh, Yosef is going to take it out on us now. Subconsciously, perhaps, they're hoping that he takes it out on us now. And the Or HaChaim continues on and says, because we see the entire Galus Mitzrayim was caused by this sale. Well, the basis of that, by the way, is the Gemara in Shabbos that says that because Yaakov made the coat of many colors, therefore all the Jews ended up in Mitzrayim. So that's the source of that idea. But we're pointing to the sale down to Yosef as being the cause of all the subjugation that's going to happen in Egypt. So the brothers are saying, we don't want that subjugation in Egypt. Why don't you just take it off now? In fact, that's the only thing that fits really within the psukim. There has to be something subconscious going on, because where does the psukim go? They tell him, and they tell Yosef, saying, our father commanded that you shouldn't do anything to us. Right? And right, somebody goes in front of him. Yosef starts crying. And then the brothers come, they fall in front of him, and they say, we're here going to be slaves to you. What? Yosef is crying that he's being suspicious of about to take out their anger, and then they show up and say, ready to be slaves. What do you mean you're ready to be slaves? Why are you ready to be slaves? Yosef's about to say, oh, don't worry, it's not your fault, I'm not going to take anything. They're saying, perhaps, no, we want to be slaves. We want something to happen to us. And it's not just the sale down to, it's not just the servitude in Egypt that ends up being a problem, that ends up being the cause of the issue for them. The Or Sameach, not the Or Sameach, the Meshech Chachma, same person, Or Sameach wrote the book, the same person, Rav Meir Simcha Mitvinsk. So in the Meshech Chachma, Parshas Achrimos, so he lists off the various issues that have to do with the Mechiras Yosef, the various ways that it's paid off. First of all, the idea of Nishkal Shtei Salayim, that the Avodah on Yom Kippur is done with the goats that they have to be worth 2 Salayim. Where do you get the 2 Salayim from? Because that's what Yosef was sold down for, the 2 Salayim. And the idea that it says, that the Beis HaMikdash had to be in the Shevet of Binyamin. Why is it that the Beis HaMikdash is tilted and is shifted in such a way that much of it is in Shevet Yehuda, but the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself is in Shevet Binyamin? The Gemara comments, because Binyamin wasn't involved in the sale of Yosef. And there are Midrashim as well, as we've quoted a few times already, there are Midrashim that connect the Asara Harugi Malchus, the 10 martyrs, we connect that to the sale of Yosef. The 10 brothers of Yosef that were responsible for selling him down, so they were then the retribution, so to speak, showed up with regards to the Asara Haruge Malchus. So what could have been done? What could have been done? So Bruce has already been very into this, and it's really from the Rabbeinu B'chayi. The Rabbeinu B'chayi quotes on this section that that Yosef never actually was mochel them. Yosef never actually forgave them. And why didn't he ever forgive them? Because the brothers never asked him. We understand that anybody who sinned against their friend and they did tshuva, they don't get mechila until they actually are merutz from the brother, until they actually gain atonement from the person that they did damage to. So even though he consoled them, and even though he said it's okay, and even though he said I'm not going to take it out from you, mikol makom says the Reinu Chaye, lo reinu sheyaskir hakasav mechilas Yosef. We never actually see that Yosef was a mochelet, that Yosef actually forgave him. It doesn't show up the entire time.
Wouldn't that say that the Michael, the two-step brother, you have to ask your name, Michael?
Yes.
They didn't ask.
Right. Oh, so why wasn't Yosef ever mochel them? So Rabbi Simon here in the Sefer Imri Baruch, he quotes from Rav Avron David Goldberg, the Sifro Shiras David. Don't know, but he says the near shehu mafarish shekol ma she'amar lehem hayarak lefaisim shol yifchadu. Right. All that he said to them was only to console them so they'd not be afraid. Shol yarolim, they'd not be bad to them. But ba'amki nishmasu pnima nishar kpeda. But in his depths of his heart, he still was mach, but he still had a problem with them. And therefore, he never said to them clearly that I'm being mochel you. So why not? Why didn't? Just because he couldn't, because Yosef wasn't capable of forgiving them. So he continues on and says, now the real reason he was never really mochel them, they never really forgave them, because he sensed that they never really asked for forgiveness. Because when they came to him, they didn't come to him originally, oh, we're so sorry. They came to him only after Yaakov died, and only after they're afraid that Yosef is going to take revenge on them. So just as they didn't ask to be forgiven, really, and really at all, they never really asked to be forgiven, they just asked not to be punished, so Yosef wasn't able to forgive them. So we can't turn around and blame Yosef and say, oh, Yosef, well, you never said I forgive you. That's the problem.
There is some part of her behavior, but now please forgive the spiteful deed of the servants of your father's God.
Where does it say that?
This is 17.
But they're not saying it himself. They're quoting Dad.
No, the first part of the sentence quotes Dad, and then the second part, they're speaking.
Right, but they're basing it on, they're saying, oh, you see, Dad said you should forgive us.
Yeah, right.
Right, that means they never went all in.
No, they never went all in.
And then the question still stands. They never went all in to do full tshuva. And therefore, Yosef, it's not just that Yosef didn't, it's not that Yosef held it against him and says, ah, you never really asked. And therefore, no, Yosef couldn't. Yosef couldn't. It wouldn't work. If they're not ready to say, please forgive us for the sin that we did to you, Yosef is not able to say, I hereby forgive you for the sin that you did to me. All Yosef could do is say, well, that's up to Hashem, and Hashem put us here, and don't worry, all worked out for the best. That's all Yosef could do. Yosef can't actually forgive them because the brothers don't actually ask for forgiveness. And they came close. They came close. They point out that... Rav Rudinsky, I heard, gave a drush on it. I didn't see it in the Sefer, though. But the issue of what's the reason this all caused? That Gemara in Shabbos that we quoted before, that the slavery in Egypt is caused by the coat of many colors that Yaakov gave to one of his sons. And the Gemara there is saying you shouldn't show favoritism to one son over another. Right, that's what the Gemara is. So you would think that the one lesson that Yaakov would learn from this entire thing, right, is that you shouldn't show favoritism for the one son over another. Yeah. Well, wait a second. What was the entire brachos of Yaakov? The entire brachos of Yaakov saying, oh, Reuben, you're not going to be the melech, and you're not going to be the kohen anymore. Rather, it's going to be them, and Levi's going to be this, and Shimon's going to be this, and Zvulun and Yisachar are going to be this. Isn't that showing favoritism of one over to another? Right, so you have to understand. I have to explain, otherwise there's just no other way out of this. It's simply to say is that you're not showing favoritism; you're stating facts that this person has this idea, this person has that idea, this person has that goal, this person has that ability, and you have that ability, that that ability, that that ability. And when one Jew has an ability that another one doesn't, we're not jealous of that ability. We praise that ability and we try to bring that to the forefront. So, but it's still that's a challenge. That's difficult. So the brothers, on one hand, they're able to keep quiet as Yaakov is giving praise to some children and not giving praise to others. And they're able to keep quiet as Yosef gave praise to Binyamin and wasn't giving praise to others. Are they able to keep quiet? But yet still, that challenge of, can I really accept that this person has a status and I have a status? This person has certain skills and I have certain skills. And I'm doing the best I can with my skills, they're doing the best they can with their skills. Are we really able to accept that? So I think that challenge is what exists. That's the challenge that continues. And as we head into Tisha B'Av this coming weekend, that's what we ultimately have to overcome. The idea of sinas chin, the idea of hatred, the idea, right? That as much as we say that, oh, we respect, we get together, and we love everyone, etc., there's still that little bit there. The full acceptance of, which requires a large amount of emunah, the large amount of faith, that ability to say that Hashem gave me what I need, Hashem gave him what he needs, and Hashem gave him what he needs, that we're not quite there yet. Perhaps that's something to think about as we conclude Bereishis, this challenge that we're the sefer full of challenges amongst brothers as we head into Tisha B'Av, which is the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash because of challenges amongst brothers. And they try to figure out how to accept everybody for who they are and how we can all work together to build a better Klal Yisrael. Right, good Shabbos, a meaningful and easy fast, and we'll pick up again with some Chumash, either Shos or Vayikra, in the next couple of weeks. Okay.